Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Hello, hello, dear listener. How are you doing? Welcome. Glad to have you back. Good to have you joining us in this episode. This episode, I am thrilled to be joined by a friend of mine, the Change Catalyst. His name is DJ Savanjo, and he is going to be sharing a lot with us about what you need to do to become the catalyst of your own change. And that's whether it's change in your career, change in your business, or change in your life. We'll bring a DJ in just a couple of moments. Are you there at the moment, DJ? Can you hear me loud and clear?
Loud and clear, Keith. Loud and clear.
Awesome, awesome. Good to have you here. So DJ's going to be sharing a lot with us. I've had the pleasure of knowing DJ for a good year and a half now, I think it is. I've worked with him quite a few times. He has phenomenal knowledge about what it takes to really be the catalyst of your change. So I was very, very pleased when DJ agreed to come onto the show and take part. We're going to be covering, DJ is going to be the one who covers most of it. I'm just going to be the conduit here to guide the conversation. But we're going to be looking at things like why most brilliant people struggle and why they get stuck in their careers, what you need to do to get out of a rut. You can share with us 5 steps to accelerate your career and your business growth. And some of these you can implement and see the results pretty much immediately. I've got to say, I have used some of these in the past, and I've got very, very good results very quickly. And he's also going to share with us 1 powerful strategy for career and business breakthroughs. Plus, and this is the important point, how to implement it. So we're in for a good hour of excellent content here. As always, it would be great to have you joining in. If you are in the US, you can always call in on our guest call-in line, which is 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. If you're not based in the US, please don't use that number because it is an international number. It will cost you a fortune. Instead, you've got a couple of ways you can get in. You can go to theconfidencealchemist.com. / radio show. You can find the Catalyzing Growth page on there. At the bottom of that page, you'll be able to post your comments. I will bring those into the show. Alternatively, you can go to the Confidence Alchemist Facebook page, like the page while you're there, and pop in, send me a message. Send me a message at the page. I will get that. And again, I can share your comments, put your questions to DJ. That's how we can get you involved. So with all that said, dear listener, it's time now to give a warm welcome to DJ. Hey, DJ, how are you doing, sir?
Keith, I am so excited to be here. I'm doing good. It's still nice and bright here in Kent, and I'm here in the office, and I'm really excited to be here with you and your amazing guests. We're going to have a blast.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's actually, believe it or not, lovely and sunny up here in Scotland as well, which is which is a rare treat for us, it has to be said. So, DJ, obviously you and I have known each other for a while, but just for my listener who may or may not have come across you, who is DJ? What does he do?
It's interesting you asked that question. Who is DJ? And I guess especially because over the last few years, I've been focused on quite a number of different things. And sometimes you need to step back and actually ask yourself, who am I? Not what do I do, but who am I? And I think DJ he's a dad, he's a husband, he's a fun guy. He's also a very serious guy. I'm a serious fun guy, if I could say that. So I am a fun guy, but I can be serious, and there's different dimensions to me. But ultimately, yes, I love business. I love helping people be better, do better, and have better. And that's pretty much the way I like to define myself. I like to be better, do better, and have better, and I love to help other people be better, do better, and have better.
Hey, and who doesn't want that, right? How do you do it, man? How do you do all that?
A good question. I think the key thing is first, when I mean, I said be better, do better, and have better. The first thing is being the best you that you can be, and whatever that means. I think one of the big challenges that I see that many of us have is it's good to have aspirations, but I think the most important thing you should aspire to is to be the best you that you could be, rather than to be someone else or to have something someone else has. And ultimately, what I do is just help. And I'm going to talk about myself first, identifying who I am, identifying what's important to me, identifying the things that are meaningful to me, identifying what a desirable place I'd love to be in the future. So where do I see myself in the future that I'd be happy with? And then what do I need to do to get there? And who do I need to become to get there? And then you just work towards it. So ultimately, it's about living on purpose. And living on purpose, simply, when I say that, what I mean is I see a future I aspire to. I see a future that's meaningful to me. I see a future that I, you know, when I get there, I will feel fulfilled. I will be fulfilled. And then working towards becoming the person who can get there and then doing the things that would help me to get there so that eventually I do get there.
Nice, nice. And this is something that you can, I say you can, I know you can help other people to achieve, yes?
Yes, and that's what, in a sense, that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. I mean, tonight, I know we're looking at growth and we're looking at catalyzing growth and accelerating growth, but it really is pretty much that. It's about, because growth, ultimately, you're growing towards something. Because when I talk about growth, or development, it really is growth, which is, to me, growth means becoming something or attaining something. So it's, and that means it's something in the future. It's something that is ahead, something that I don't have, I can't do, I am not yet, but actually I am becoming that person, or I am getting to that place, or I'm achieving that thing. That's how I define growth anyways. And so tonight we're going to be looking at growth, and not just growth, but actually catalyzing or speeding up growth. That's what we're going to be looking at tonight, and hopefully we can have some fun.
Yeah. And that final bit, catalyzing the growth, that really is an important thing, because I guess as we go through life, we are all growing in some way. We can't help it. We can't not grow, basically. All of our experiences, mm-hmm. everything mm-hmm. that happens, we grow. But you're right. What you bring is, that's why you're the change catalyst. You bring that thing that takes us from just growing steadily and slowly to really rocketing that growth, so we really can achieve what we want to achieve and be the best us we can be.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. Yeah, let's dive in.
Sure thing.
I guess let's start at the beginning. One of the things that we discussed when we were planning out the show was that it is a reality that most brilliant people do struggle. We often kind of think that if I'm struggling, it's because I'm thick, I'm stupid, I haven't got what it takes. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. the reality, as you say, is that most brilliant people struggle and get stuck in their
yeah.
career. So why is that?
Okay. The primary reason why most people struggle is their mindset. And I'm going to get into that in a moment. And I'm going to expand on that. But before we even look at that, you know, mindset and what that really means, because mindset's one of these things that a lot of people talk about, very few people understand, but we're going to really look at that and understand it here this evening. But I mean, the ultimate thing is if you're the primary thing that really slows us down is if we are not healthy, right? It's actually, the first step to acceleration is actually our well-being, and that's basically the state of being well. Now, why is that important? Because how well we are determines how we feel. Now, feelings have been maligned that, you know what, feelings are not important. You know, it's really, you know, you can, you know, our feelings lie to us, and that is true. Our feelings do lie to us, but our feelings are also very, very powerful. you know. We move based, you know, it's feelings that move us. And if you move against your feelings, what I mean by that is if I don't feel like doing something and then I do it, right, and I keep on doing it in spite of the fact that I don't feel like doing it, it will wear me out. Right, because we're working against our feelings. We need to put a lot of energy into that because our feelings are resisting it. Now, and so if we feel good, we basically have more energy to be productive. And so when I talk about well-being, I mean, I'll talk about mental well-being first of all. Our minds when we talk about well-being, there's really two things. There's a diet and then there's exercise in every sphere. And so things like what we feed our minds, you know, there's healthy food and there's junk food, and there's also a balanced diet. Now, let me explain what I mean by this. Now, if you are the sort of person who's only into serious stuff, you know, I only put some, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not into things, you know, I don't do comedy, I don't do all that. I'm only into the serious stuff. The challenge with that is we do need a little bit of relax and have a laugh time. We do need that. Our brains need that. So, however, too much of that also can have an impact. And so we're then feeding our minds with junk. And so our first responsibility is what we expose our minds to. And this is all about, you know, some of us, we just sit in, you know, our Facebook news feeds. It's taking out so much of our energy. We're putting so much into our brains because there's a lot of negativity on our news feeds and some of you and all the other social media platforms that we're on, that you go in there, you sit there, you're just going through one post after another, and you're allowing your mind to be exposed to a lot of crap, really. And then what happens is before you went on Facebook, you were pretty much energized and you were full of energy, and you've just gone through your feed and now you're depressed and demotivated. And now there's a lot of hard work because you've fed your mind a lot of crap. And then what's happening is your mind is working with all of that, because once it goes into the mind, it's just like food in your body. You know, once it goes in, it starts to go to work. Right, it starts to go to work, and then there's the negativity that's there in our brains, and so we then have to work harder to do the things we need to do to help us towards our goals. So there's the food. So we've got to make sure that's. I mean, I'm a very strong advocate of, you know, getting positive stuff into your heads, into your brains. What we expose ourselves to, we know that. Guard your heart, guard your mind with all diligence, because that really affects your life. So feeding your brain is really essential for our well-being. And then there's the other element, which is exercise. Now, this is all foundational stuff. You know, I'm going to I know someone's thinking, well, I want some really practical stuff. Well, this is the practical stuff, because well-being is really at the foundation of accelerated growth. Right, because it just makes it a lot easier. I'm not sure if this makes sense to you, Keith.
Yeah, it's making a lot of sense, and I'm actually taking a few notes here as well, I got to say.
Okay. All right, Brill, I'm just going to zip through this, and then we're going to get into the other stuff. And then we then look at exercise, and with exercise, it's things like problem solving, decision making, deep thinking, quick thinking, and there are a few games we can do that could really help us with this sort of thing: problem solving, decision making, deep thinking, quick thinking. But just doing these regularly to exercise our brains so that when we are faced with challenging situations, we're not overwhelmed. You see, for a lot of us, we kind of avoid challenges, but the reality is sometimes for us to attain our goals, we will have to face them. And if our brains are not used to working with challenging situations and trying to solve difficult problems, trying to make tough decisions and having to think deep and having to think quick and make quick decisions, if we're not used to doing that, then we do get stressed, and it impacts on how we feel and it impacts on our overall productivity. So that's the mental element. With physical, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because many of us know that. I mean, we know that when we eat unhealthy, that our bodies tell us that, you know. So I won't go into detail around that. I have been guilty of that myself. And, you know, and I just know that I'm feeling terrible, and I know it's because of what I ate. And I'm thinking, DJ, you're such an idiot. Why did you do that? Right. And then and I have to work harder to get through the day and get through my work because I don't feel like it because I'm feeling lethargic, I'm feeling tired because of what I ate. You know, so there's the food and then there's the exercise. And again, you know, so I won't, you know, we know that stuff. And it's, I think the bottom line is, if I feel, if my body feels good, I generally am able to be more productive. And I think that's the bottom line. And then there's a spiritual element. And again, it's pretty much the same thing. And with the spiritual, with exercise, the whole thing about faith and forgiveness, you see, there's something about knowing that there are certain things which are out of my control. I can't control these things, but I trust that everything's going to be okay, and I'm still going to go on in spite, rather than, oh my goodness, I can't control everything, and then I'm in panic zone, I'm in worry zone. But, you know, it's because for me, the spiritual is really being in a place where you're trusting and you know that all I can do is all I can do, and I'm going to do all I can do, and I trust, and I know some people define God in all sorts of different ways, but I trust that God, or however you know, is sorting me out, sorting things out. And so I refuse to worry, panic. And that's the whole spiritual development, because a time will come when things will be out of control, when things will be beyond you. And if you have not developed in this space, it can be really challenging. I know the spiritual space is becoming really popular these days. A lot more people are exploring the spiritual in different dimensions and what it means and things like that. So, you know, there's that element to it. And then finally, there's relationships. And, I'm saying this is all fundamental, whether you're looking to build a business, whether you're looking to build a career or whatever it is, and accelerate business growth, accelerate career progression, this stuff is really essential. So overall well-being, which is my mental well-being, my physical well-being, my spiritual well-being, and then relationships. And as far as relationships are concerned, there's our social relationships, there's our work relationships, and there's our family relationships. And one thing we need to do is we need to consistently define and redefine our relationships. We need to, you know, we've got to be careful and intentional about who we allow into our lives, because everybody who comes into your life will either speed you up or slow you down. And that's really important. And that's the reason, because everybody you come in touch with, everyone who you engage with in some way, they would either help accelerate your pace or decelerate your pace, but nobody leaves you the way they meet you. And that's why, you know, when we're looking at, we're still talking about accelerated growth, we've got to really look at relationships. And so we've got to be contributing to the people that we're in, you know, into our relationships. We've got to be adding and removing people. Yes, we would be bringing people in, and we've got to be eliminating people from our lives. And I know that sounds kind of cold, right? It doesn't mean you don't wish them well, but the reality is, it's just that, you know, two can't walk together except they be agreed. There's just something about that relationship that is quite toxic. And once you identify that, you know, you've got to, you know, just eliminate. And then there are other people who you bring in because you can add value to them, or they can add value to you, or they could, it's a bit back and forth, but you realize this person's in my life for me to be a blessing, or this person's in my life for them to be a blessing to me in some shape or form. But if rather than this person's in my life and they're a leech and they're just, you know, or this person's in my life and they bring discord and confusion and they bring fear and they bring worry. And if that's the case, you've got to eliminate. And also you promote people. And what I mean by that is, because we have different layers of relationships, some people are really close to us, some people are not so close. There are some people you tell everything, there are some people you tell many things, and there are some people you tell nothing. And what happens is you keep on redefining these relationships, and you've got to be promoting people. And also there's a bit of regression as well with some people, as you realize that you're on a mission and this person being this close to me is not helpful, or I really value this relationship. I'm going to get closer to this person because of the value, the potential value of this relationship. So these are some of those decisions that we need to make. So thing here is why, because it enhances our whole well-being. So the mental, physical, spiritual, and relationships enhance our well-being, which has an impact on how we feel, because feelings, in spite of what people say about them, are so powerful. A person who always feels good, well, I don't think there's anybody who ever feels good, but a person who feels good most of the time is more likely to pour themselves in what they need to do, and they're more likely to be productive. So it's so easy to downplay this stuff, and I felt to just put it out there first, because it really is foundational. It's something that's not usually taught. It's something that, you know, people very quickly go into the practical stuff, which is, you know, 5 steps to do that and 3 steps to do all that. But we don't appreciate how much this stuff that I mentioned, this whole thing about well-being. And I know there's a lot around well-being these days that thing, you know, it's becoming, people are becoming more aware of it, and its impact on our overall productivity and our progress. And I just felt to just share that first of all. So I don't know if you had any thoughts before I moved on to talk about mindset, which is the primary reason why many very intelligent, smart people struggle.
Sure. I mean, I loved everything that you said there. It really does resonate. You're absolutely right. It is all too easy to just dive into the practical bits without, as you say, having setting up all of the fundamentals, the foundations there. And you're right about emotions and so on. I just had a comment from Joshua Karodi from New York, who says, "Great stuff, DJ. Spot on about the power of emotions." You're absolutely right there. One thing I really loved, I can't remember the exact words you said, but you said that effectively anybody who's in our life is either building us up or detracting from us. Nobody is kind of leaves us the same as we were when they arrived. And I guess the thing that really resonated for me was, oh, that means that's the same for me in other people's lives. I'm either helping somebody's life become better or I'm bringing it down. Mm-hmm. I'm not. So we're all something to be aware of. We're all making a difference, positive or negative difference in people's lives. None of us don't affect other people. And that's a really powerful thing to realize.
And scary as well.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Brilliant. Yeah. So, yeah, thanks for that, and thanks for the comment there. I really appreciate that. Yeah, so now mindset. Now, mindset is, mindset's another thing that we talk about. It's the primary thing that makes it difficult for really brilliant people to really enjoy the growth they want to enjoy because of the way their minds have been set, you know. Let me just briefly try to explain mindset and help us understand why it impacts us the way it does. You see, our mindsets are things that are developed over time, especially when we're much younger, right? Mm-hmm. Usually from when we're much younger. By the time we're 20, our minds are pretty much set for most of us. Now, the reality is we experience things in life, and when we experience these things, we interpret these experiences in certain ways, and we come to certain conclusions, right? So when we come to these conclusions, which may or may not be true, and then we look for, this is what happens, because we come to these conclusions, we then look for things that happen to validate our theory, consciously or unconsciously. And then when we have seen one or two things that validate that perspective, that becomes our truth, right? That becomes our truth, you know? So
yeah.
If a person thinks that, you know, if I talk myself down, I'm more accepted. If I promote myself, people think I'm arrogant and they don't want to be friends with me. So even though I know I'm smart, I'm going to pretend like I am not smart because people don't like smart people. Why? Because in school, at some point in time, something happened where a teacher asked a question. Nobody could answer the question. I waved my hand in class, and I was waving eager for the teacher to see me. Teacher calls me, and I answer the question, and I'm feeling so cool and so proud because I answered the question. But after class, the other kids in school were picking on me and were calling me teacher's pet and all of that stuff. But not only that, I go into church, and it's the exact same experience I have in church with the kids in church, and that's when I begin to think, you know what? I better just, you know, pretend like I'm not smart because people don't like smart people. And now that is a belief that they may have. Now what then happens is they then begin to behave. You see, they begin to behave based on that lie, because it's not the truth. They begin to behave, and then their mind is now set. It's conditioned to respond to life based on that belief. So they have a belief, but it's not really the belief that's the issue. It's the fact that they are conditioned to behave based on that belief. So what happens is, sometime later in life, they may read a book or they may attend a seminar where they learn something new. So they learn that actually there's nothing wrong with promoting yourself as long as you're not arrogant and obnoxious. And that kind of makes sense, because the reality is, if you don't blow your trumpet, who's going to blow it? And that makes sense to them. And you're going to see them nodding and agreeing to that, because it makes sense. They're exposed to new knowledge and it makes sense to them. And they're thinking, wow, this is so true. They even believe it's true. You see, knowledge and belief is not the same as mindset. So even though they believe that, and even though it makes sense to them, they go out tomorrow, and when there's an opportunity to promote themselves, they won't. You know why? Because even though it makes sense and they want to, they are conditioned to behave in another way. And that's why you see people who, they want to do one thing, but they're doing something else. They want to behave in one way, but they're behaving in another way. They want to, because they are, their brains over time, based on a lie they believed much earlier, has been conditioned. And so they're very smart people. And that's why you see very intelligent, smart people who just, because of certain beliefs and certain mindsets, they're not able to take the actions. And we underestimate how powerful this thing is, the actions they need to take consistently. Now, even if they do it once or twice, they don't feel comfortable with it, and so they stop and they go back to how their mind has been conditioned for them to behave. And so this is the real challenge. This is, I mean, there's a few other things, but that's the real challenge. And you can, you know, you can preach at them, and you can even, you know, but it's a mindset. The mind is set. It's just like, you know, it's set, you know, it's just like clay. You know, you can mold clay, you can change it, you can, it's, this, the difference between clay and Play-Doh is Play-Doh, you can always play around with it. Clay, it's different. You can play around with it when it's still soft, but as soon as it's set, that's it. And that's the thing with our minds, is many of us, our experiences, of course, conditioned us, and our mindset is actually holding us back, because we believe the lie that is making it difficult for us to break through, and whatever breakthrough means in our career and our businesses. And that is the real challenge.
Got it.
That is the
Got
real
it.
Challenge.
Yeah. So what do we do? What do we ask? I mean, that's a heck of a challenge, heck of a situation to be in there.
Yeah. Yes. And it's, you know, so acknowledging that, first of all, it's a big thing. And I think that's the thing. So, it's now, what do we do is we need to reprogram. Mm-hmm. We need to identify, you know, and again, we've probably heard people talk about limiting beliefs, but that's what it is. And but it is limiting beliefs, because they're beliefs, but it's not just beliefs. It's a mindset, you know, it's a limiting belief that has become, that has set, and we're conditioned and programmed to behave because of that belief. So we need a reprogramming. So first of all, we've got to identify that lie that we believe. And we may need help with this. Some of us, it can be pretty obvious. Some of us, it might require a bit of digging. And identifying what this lie is, what this lie is that I believe. And then identifying how this lie has, you know, helped me. How has this lie helped me to deal with some issues in my life? Because there's a reason why we believe that lie. It actually has helped us. If it didn't help us, we won't believe it. But then we say, but how has it hindered me? Right? How has this belief hindered me from, you know, from being the best me that I could possibly be? So identify how it's held you back. You've got to hate it. You know, first you've got to understand why you've liked it so far, and then you've got to understand how it's stealing from you so you can hate that lie. That's the first thing. Until you hate it, you're not going to work hard enough to deal with it. Right? So you've got to start looking at the different, you know, from however, you know, how has this lie held me back? How has it limited? How has it robbed me? How has it stopped me from expressing myself or from being who I really am in certain situations and experiencing certain possibilities that I would have loved to have experienced, right? So we do that. Now, when you've done that, what we then do is we then look at reprogramming, and it's defining the new belief. So what is the new belief? Now, it begins with a belief because of new knowledge, but like I said, belief is not enough. We've got to experience a reprogramming or a renewing or a transformation of the mind, right? We've got to experience the, and it's almost like we need to break down. We've got to break down those old beliefs and build a new belief and have that set. So what do we do? First of all, it's continuous exposure. Continuous exposure to this new belief, continuous exposure. And this is why I, to that which is going to help us break it down. So reading the books, attending the events, and cutting out certain people in your life and aligning with people who behave in the way you aspire to behave and whose mindsets are different from yours. You know, it's being around them, reading the books, attending the events, you know, that sort of thing. Just exposing yourself to this consistently and continually and cutting out intentionally anything that is contrary. So we've got to be very conscious. And it's not going to happen, you know, in a day or, well, in a week. It's continuously exposing ourselves to that. The second thing is confession. And when I say confession, what do I mean? It is speaking. So it's one thing to believe it, but you've got to train your brain to hear you saying it. You're literally training your brain to think in a different way. And so you wake up, and we talk about this sort of stuff, and many of us kind of know to do it, but very few of us actually do it. It's this new belief, this new way of thinking. It's just write it out. I am, you know, so if you're the kind of person who was like me, who felt very uncomfortable saying I'm brilliant, because that really was who I was, right? It is, I'm brilliant. I'm good at what I do. I'm a very smart person, and I have no problem expressing this and sharing this with my world. As I express how brilliant and how smart I am, I attract to me those who will want to help me and those who want to learn from me. I would share my brilliance with my world because my world needs my brilliance, because my world can help other people shine their own lights and shine their own brilliance as well. Right? I am not ashamed of my brilliance. I will share it. I will proclaim it, and I will express it in the best way that I can. And it's saying this in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night, and saying it continually until your brain believes it. Until it seeps in your subconscious. And that's the other thing. And then the thing is, the harder bit is then taking action. Even though this is it. Now this is, even though you don't feel comfortable, it's just doing it. And you're exposing yourself to the new thoughts, new beliefs. You're confessing and you're taking the actions consistently. You're doing all this consistently. And we're just doing it until, you see, what happens is you get to the place where, you know what, you don't even know you're there, you just get there. I don't know if this kind of makes sense. So you just become a different person because, as you know, the transformation happens, and you know, it could happen in 2 months, it could happen in a year, but what happens is you just are not who you used to be, right? And that's where your mind is now able to help you. So because it was working against you in the past, you know, you're very intelligent, you're very hardworking, but your brain was working against you, was jeopardizing you. But as you now take ownership and you recondition, you renew, you retrain, you reprogram your mind, your brain then begins to work alongside you, helping you on the way to success.
Nice, nice.
Accountability does help. I do apologize, Keith. Accountability does help. It's just being accountable to someone. So as you're doing all this stuff, and I'm going to be talking about accountability throughout, there's something about accountability where you are going to be accountable to someone, or maybe to a group, whoever, whatever the situation, but you know that I have to give account of how I have been doing the things that I need to do. It just helps, because without accountability, many of us, me included, just don't really have the discipline to stick to the things we need to do to get to where we need to get to. And that's why accountability helps. And I'll just leave it there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about accountability. And I think one of the key things with accountability is, at one point I had an accountability body. We would get together once a week, say what we were each going to be doing and keeping each other accountable. But you've got to make sure that you do keep each other accountable. And that particular accountability relationship kind of fell apart because we ended up sort of, if one person hadn't done something, then the accountability partner, rather than go, well, look, you said you were going to do this, why didn't you, kind of bought into the excuses, and that fell apart. Whereas I had another one, which worked really well, where we kept each other accountable. And one thing that really worked was we said what we were committing to, and we also agreed that any item on our list that we didn't complete by the next one, regardless of reasons why, we had to pay our accountability buddy £100.
Oh, balls
boy,
up.
That really helps focus the mind.
That's it, Keith. That is it. That is it. That's just brilliant.
Awesome.
And there was one time where we each had failed on one thing, so we each owed the other £100. Excuse me. But rather than just say, right, that balances out, we decided that would not be effective. So that particular week, charity benefited by the £200, because you've got to make sure that if there's a penalty there, you apply it to keep it rigid. Yeah.
I loved
what you were saying about the way you retrain your brain with so you identify what it is that's been holding you back. You identify how it served you. You then identify how it is holding you back. And I mean, the phrase you used was you've got to really hate this behavior. And then you start working out your new one. And would I be right in saying it sounds like using affirmations is a key part of that, or is it something different? Did I kind of misunderstand that where you're.
Yes, it was affirmations. It was affirmations.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Got it.
But
okay.
It's affirming who you are becoming, and it's that new you and the new way you see a world and the new way you behave. And you speak it till you become it. You keep on speaking it till you become it.
Mm. So I guess a key difference there between your approach and a typical way of affirmations is, because I know a lot of people say that I use affirmations and they just didn't work. But I guess for a lot of people, it's their affirmation is something that's just so way out there. Like, I am a multimillionaire and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas what you're saying is you're kind of affirming the changes that you are making. So, which I guess are changes that are going to happen anyway, but you're just affirming those changes and kind of living those changes. So from that perspective, the way in which you're, inviting us to use affirmations actually really does work, because we're not trying to beat our brain into thinking something totally different. We're already starting to behave in these new ways, and we're just kind of pointing out to our brain, hey, look, I really am magnificent. I really am. So it's helping it to look for the evidence and helping it to cement the change.
Yeah. And I guess the key thing is with the affirmations, It's a little beyond, hey, I am beautiful, or I am this, you know. And there's a lot of, and I think that's important, because there is those kind of beliefs, but it's also about how I behave and how I see life, and we are describing how I behave, the kind of behaviors that you know you struggle with, and the beliefs behind them. You are confessing, you're affirming the new you who thinks in a certain way and does things in this way and is not, and refuses to do things this other way, because you no longer see things that way anymore. You now see things this way, and this is why you see things this way, and this is what you'll do because you see things this way, and these are the results you'll be getting because you see things this way. And you keep on saying that until your brain aligns with what you're working towards. Because initially, when you start, you see what happens for a lot of us, is we just start trying to do the actions, but our brains work against us because our brains do not agree with the actions. You know, so it deep down, we've been conditioned in a certain way. So it's just like, hey, you know what? Do you know something? Just like, you know, and so this, we need to read, and sometimes it happens quickly. And so sometimes, you know, but what happens is, you know, for example, you have a victory, and when you have a victory, when you have a breakthrough, it's kind of great. However, there still is a fear. And then when you trip up, it all falls down again. You know, it's really fascinating. I know you do brain work, so I'm sure you kind of understand what I'm talking about, Keith. Yeah.
Yeah, and I love the slightly different angle and perspective that you're putting on there. It's always good to hear these things from different perspectives. And you're right there. If you attempt to do something, but your brain is still thinking that that's not who we are, then you're right. It's going to be looking for, even though you have a victory, it's still going to be looking out for proof that you're not the sort of person. Okay, we succeeded that one time. That was a one-off. You know, we'll never do it again. Oh look, we tripped up. See, I was right. It was a one-off.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. We've got about 15 minutes left, and I know that you've got a lot still to get through. So where do we go from here once we started making these changes in our mindset and our behaviors?
Okay.
Where do we go?
Okay. Good. So now let's talk about growth and progressive growth towards a goal, towards something we want to achieve. So maybe it's business growth, career growth, and I'll just focus on business and career growth, you know, and these two. Now, there was a time when I was building a business in direct sales. At the time, this was probably 2003 or 2004 or something. I was in direct sales network marketing, and I've been working really, really hard, and I've been, you know, and I was, you know, I wasn't really getting the kind of results I should have been getting for the amount of effort that I was putting into my business. And so I did something, you know, I just decided to, you know what, I need to stop everything. I was doing everything, you know, I was doing a lot of things, right? But I wasn't really making progress. I wasn't making the kind of progress I should be making. And I stopped. And I think sometimes we just need to stop, you know, and I think sometimes we just need to stop and ask ourselves, actually, what's going on here? Redefine your goals. What do I actually want? And what's working for me right now? What's not working? What's productive, what's not productive? What's relevant, what's not really relevant? Who's relevant, who's not really relevant in my life right now? Who's helping me towards my goals and who's holding me back? And it's pretty much just, and then what is it I really, really want? And redefine our goals and look at our lives and see what's helping us towards our goals and what's been holding us back. And actually, what are the things we've been doing that have really been productive? What have we been doing that's not been productive? And this is where you want to prune, just cut out stuff, because our time, energy, and money is limited. And what we pour our time, energy, and money into would really ultimately determine what we get. You know, we put our time, our energy, and money to acquire stuff by contributing them. We contribute our time, energy, and money into our world in order to get something come back to us. Right. So if you're putting your time, energy and money in the wrong places, in less productive places, then we will produce very little. So we've got to reevaluate where we're putting our time, got to reevaluate where we're putting our money, we've got to reevaluate where we're putting our energy. Right. So if there's things I'm doing, if there's places I'm going, if there are people who I'm spending time with, if there's, you know, that aren't really helping me. If there's some things I'm spending my money on that aren't really helping me, then I'm just going to prune them. I'm just going to cut them all out. That's the first. So we prune, and then what are the things that are really helpful? So that's that's the first thing that we do is we stop everything, we redefine, and you can do that. So if you've been saying, you know what, this is where I want to be in my career, and I'm working hard at it, and you realize I've been literally just in the same spot for the last 2 years. I can see other people who are not as hardworking as I am are progressing, but I seem to be stalling. Then just stop and ask yourself, what's going on here? You know, what is I'm really looking to achieve? What's really helping me? What's useful? What's not useful? You know, and who's useful? Who's not useful in my life right now? Who is draining me from me? Who's the leech? And who is the person who is enhancing, who just being around them, when I'm around them, I feel good, because that's a good thing. Some people, when you're around them, you feel terrible for some people. When you're around them, they steal your time. They steal your energy. You realize, I spent 3 hours with that person, and it was a complete waste of time, you know? And so you start to evaluate, you start to pay attention to where you're spending your stuff, your time, your energy, and your money, right? Now, then we go to the really practical things, and I'm going to really zip through this stuff because we do have less than 15 minutes, right? So identify the 3 to 5 things that must happen for you to hit your goals. So in essence, what are the things that must happen for me to hit my goals? And so if I'm working in corporate, for example, and I'm looking to really move my career forward, I would say the first thing that needs to happen is, you know what, I need to get invitations to interviews. That's the first thing. If I'm not getting invitations to interviews, ain't going to happen. Number two, I need to develop a reputation within my space or my industry or my organization as someone people will want to work with. Because right now, nobody knows me. I need to be visible, right? So I need to be visible. I need to start getting invitations for interviews. Number three is I need to be able to sell myself. Right, and I need to be able to back up what I say. So, I mean, I'm just saying that these are some of the things that you would probably look at saying these are the things that need to be in place. What must happen for me to hit my goals? Right now, it's the same thing in business. You know, what are the three? So it's identifying, because this is what happens along the way. We find ourselves engaged in stuff, a lot of stuff that we don't need to be doing. We're just doing all these things, and so by defining the things that must happen, we need to do, we become more intentional, and that's the thing. So the key to acceleration is focus. It's focused energy. It's focusing your time, your energy, and your money on the things that help you to be more productive, right? So identify those 3 to 5 things. What are they, right? And be very clear about those. Then number two, it's making sure you have the skills and systems and support. Now, there's certain skills that you need to have, for example, in the corporate. If you're looking to enjoy accelerated career growth, you've really got to work on your networking skills. You've got to work on connecting with people. I call it, you've got to learn how to blow your trumpet without becoming obnoxious or arrogant. You just have to, because if you're brilliant and no one knows you're brilliant, right, and a lot of people don't feel comfortable with this. We're talking about mindset. You know, and a lot of people don't feel comfortable with this. I worked in corporate, and I knew when I had, you know, people who I would coach with, and they struggled with this. And I remember someone saying to me then, but DJ, you know, why can't my work just speak for itself? I said, yes, your work speaks for itself. It just won't speak for you.
Right. Ooh,
and
nice one.
And this, because she said, but why can't I just, she was very frustrated. She says, DJ, why can't I just do a brilliant job and my work will speak for itself? And I say, yes, it would. Right? You do a brilliant job. Someone looks and says, oh, this is really brilliant. And your manager's the one who's at the meeting, and they commend your manager for bringing something brilliant over. And if your manager's a sneaky so-and-so, they're just going to smile and say, thank you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've got to be quite tactful in how you let people know that you're brilliant, right? So, and these are the things, and again, some people don't feel comfortable, but these are the skills you need to develop, how to sell myself, how to be able to position myself. That's a skill. If there's actually, since we're here, I'm just going to say this. If there's one mm-hmm. skill I would like everybody to master, because it will help you in your career, in your business, in everything, it's selling. And when I'm selling, I'm not saying exchanging stuff for money. I'm saying helping people to buy into your ideas, buy into a different perspective, buy into having you work on their team, buy into having you work in their company, buy into you coming into, you know, buy into wanting to be in a relationship with you, buy into... Basically, the people who are best at selling are the people who get the most. And that's just it, you know. And,
yeah.
and you don't have to ever exchange. So when I'm saying selling, I'm not saying, you know, exchanging pounds or dollars for a product or service. I'm saying getting people to buy into something, an idea, buy into a concept, buy into it. You know, the ability to do that. And that really comes down to people skills. You know, it really comes down to people skills and influencing skills. And I encourage people to invest in that. I see a lot of people who are frustrated because, you know, they struggle to get other people to buy into what they have. And ultimately, if we're going to enjoy accelerated growth and the technical skills, and these are really important, I realize for many people, it's not really the technical skills, even those do hold people back. It's usually the tactical skills or the people skills that people struggle with.
So,
you know, get the skills, get the systems, and get the support that you will need. Okay, so if you are, it's in now. So, few things, you know, if you're in the career space, you know, get the support. If I'm not really good at writing a brilliant CV, then find someone who is and sit down with them and let them help you write a CV that gets noticed and pay them. That's support. You know, and you know, if you realize, okay, I don't have these particular skills, go and train yourself up, develop the skills. I guess the key thing is, you know, do that stuff. So get the skills, get the systems, get the support. Number three, and this is all, develop a game plan. Now, when I say a game plan, it's a, what I mean is you've evaluated. See, now you say, well, but I had a plan before. But now what you've done is you've done some pruning. You've zeroed in on the things you need to focus on, the things you need to be doing, and then you put together a plan. And I'm gonna zip through this very quickly and give an example of how I've done this, right? Develop a game plan, and then the next thing is you drive that game plan with intensity and focus. I mean, I talk about the 90-day intensity program, which is you do something really intense consistently and intentionally for 90 days. I believe if you want to break through in your career and break through in your business, if you do the 90-day intense, you will experience a breakthrough. And it happened for me so many different times. Every time I was breaking through in my career, every time I was breaking through to a new income level in my business, it was when I implemented the 90-day intense program. So I'll give this example. I was sharing earlier on, and then I'm just going to, I'm just going to hand back to you, Keith. Now, I remember when I talked about this network marketing direct sales business, which I got involved in, and I would go for all these events. I was all over the place, and I was everywhere. They said show up at meetings. I was showing up at the meetings, but my business wasn't growing. So one day I sat down and I said, okay, DJ, hold on. You know, you just can't keep doing this. It's not getting you the results you want. So I sat down and I said, well, what do I actually want? And my goal at the time was to become what we called in that company a regional director, which was a leadership position. When you're at that leadership position, you really start making some good money, right? So I said my goal at the time was to be a regional director with that particular company I was with at the time, okay? And I said, okay, what are the things that help me get results? I'm going to these meetings, I'm doing all that other stuff, I'm reading on stuff online. What's actually been helping me? And I realized what was actually helping me the most, having conversations with people and then using, realized that when people had CEOs, they were more open to discussing with me. And when I did that, they would enroll in my business. So I made a decision, right, that I was going to do the 90-day. I'd never heard of a 90-day intense, but I just made a decision I was going to drive this for 90 days. And I had a strategy. I won't go into detail because it would be quite boring. But the point was, I stopped meetings. I stopped going to those places because they were not productive. I knew, yes, it was helping my ego because I was, you know, I was always invited up to speak and to give my testimonial, but I wasn't really getting results. So I stopped going to meetings and I just sat down and I just focused with intensity on making phone calls, calling people, interviewing people, getting them to look at websites. And I focused, poured my energy and my time and my money into the things that were helping me get the most productivity. Now, this was my 17 in my business. In the first 16 months, I had brought into my business a total of about 15 people in first 16 months. Month 17, I brought in over 10. In month 18, I brought in over 20. And from that time on, I would bring into my organization a minimum of 20 people. Remember, the first 6 months, I brought 15. But what had happened, I cut out the things that weren't relevant. And this was, I just focus with it. I got systems. I had developed the skills over time, and I had identified what I needed, the three things I needed to do, and I was just driving it with intensity. And I was tired after 90 days. You do this 90 intensive, you will be exhausted, but you will break through. Right? That's pretty much what, you know, that's the secret. It's focused energy on the things that actually help you progress. Do that with intensity. Now, what would help with that is get a coach or preferably a mentor for support, accountability, and leverage. And I said earlier on, you know, get a mentor. It will make a big difference. Now, do you need to get a mentor if you're someone who's disciplined? If you're someone who, but that's probably about maybe 3% of the population, right? If you are that top 3%, then maybe you don't need to, but I encourage us to. And I don't care whether it's someone who doesn't charge you a penny or someone who charges you $100,000. I don't care. But just get a mentor that will help your support and accountability and also give you leverage from their expertise and knowledge. And that's it, Keith. I'm just going to park it there because I've said a fair bit already.
Wow, that's a lot of information in there. Thank you so much, DJ. I strongly recommend people listening to this, listen to it a couple of times because there is a lot of stuff in there which DJ covered. Thank you so much for that. I knew you were going to give us a lot of content. You always do. You've got a free gig. I know one of the things you do is you work with people who who want to be coaches and build coaching businesses. And you've got a free gift for those people. I've had a look at some of the stuff that's in there, and I reckon that's some of the stuff in there is going to be of interest to a much, much wider audience as well. People, if you want to get some good info from DJ, he's got a free gift at his Profit From Coaching Academy. The website for that is just go to profitfromcoaching.com/academy. Pop along to there. It is completely free. There is a lot of great content in there. It's, as I say, it's mainly aimed at people who want to build coaching businesses, etc. But as we've said so many times, all of these things work cross contextually, and you, even if running a coaching business is the last thing on your mind, I guarantee you will get a lot of great content from DJ's very generous free gift there. You will find stuff in there that you can apply in any area of creating change in your life. And that's profitfromcoaching.com/academy. DJ, it's been an absolute blast. As always, thank you so much for taking the time out to join me on this. I really appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it myself, Keith.
Excellent. And to you, dear listener, thank you for joining me on this. Again, go to DJ's profitfromcoaching.com/academy. Get his free gift. Don't forget to check out theconfidencealchemist.com. You can get the white paper on 5 Hidden Secrets of Confidence from there, completely free. Also check out theconfidencealchemist.com/radio show, where you'll find details of this episode, previous episodes, and future episodes as they come up. In 2 weeks' time, I will be joined by the wonderful Lavelda Smith. She's the creator of the Collaboration Club. She has got a lot of stuff to share with us, which is going to be directly relevant to building yourself up, building up confidence, collaborating. I'm not going to go into great detail about it. You're going to want to join us in a couple of weeks for that. And meanwhile, thank you once again to I was doing so well until that point. Thank you so much to my guest DJ Sabanjo. Remember his site, profitfromcoaching.com/academy. I've been Keith Blake Monoble, the Confidence Alchemist. Don't forget theconfidencealchemist.com. And I will catch you in 2 weeks' time in the next episode. Until then, take care. Look after yourself. Remember, change is always possible. When you change your mind, you quite literally change your life. You gotta love with you.